Last week, we taught on this text, Matthew 6:11, inviting us to approach the Father asking for our daily bread, our fresh bread, understanding that the Father is approachable and we can talk to Him about our physical needs and so much more. As I was pondering around this idea of seeking God and His kingdom first, because later in that text, Jesus ends that teaching with these words, "Seek first the kingdom, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need." As I was thinking about that, there's a number of things that came through email and interactions that I had, and I was reminded of this text in Psalm 37, verse 4. And it so reflects Jesus' teaching. And I don't know if you've made the connection, but here it is. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Do you see the connection? Seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you as well. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. I wonder if Jesus had this text in mind as He was teaching Matthew 6. So I want to talk about desires. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. What are some of your desires? Have you ever paused long enough to be in touch with the desires of your heart? The longings of your heart. How many of you in your Christian experience were taught not to be in touch with your desires? Because for fear that those desires might lead you astray. How many of you? Yeah. There are fleshly desires. The Bible would call them fleshly. There's lustful desires, desires of our heart that don't line up with God's kingdom. I think we are to be in touch with those things as well so that we can bring those into Jesus or invite Jesus into that and get some clarity. Lord, where is this coming from? That's important, but that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about what are those desires that God has placed in you that you, is deep longings that you're actually only aware of when you slow down enough, pause, and be present to the voice of Christ in your heart, or who God made you to be. What are some of the desires that you have? Just list them. Desires. How many of you desire friendship? Good listener. To know and be known. Balance. Pardon me? Desire good things for your children. Loving spouse. Yeah, I'm praying for the same thing. I'm just kidding. God's already answered that prayer. Anyway. just kidding. Don't tell your mom. What else? What was that, Ann? I'm busted, yeah. There was something else over here. Belonging, connection, yeah. Family. Health and healing. Fearless. Living fearlessly. Mm-hmm. Purpose, passion. Rest. Intimacy with God. Hey, long-term friend. Oh, long-term friend, come to know Christ. Right. Friends, come to know. How about kids? Joy. Got a Best Buy ad come up on my my email and said, "Instant joy." They're promising instant joy at Best Buy. Just so you know.
What's the link?
Hey, I'll send you the link. Yeah, joy, true, lasting, real joy. Anything else? Revival. For those of you who are not familiar with that word, kind of a spiritual awakening, right? Where people would experience intimacy with God through Christ on a larger scale. Those are some really good desires, aren't they? You know, as you reflect on your desires, the longings, can you see how these things reflect God's kingdom? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you as well. Now, the thing about desires is oftentimes we can focus, the world will tell us, focus on what you want. I had some friends some years ago that actually cut out from a magazine the things that they wanted, the Lexus or the Porsche. One day I will own this car, and they tape it on their mirror, and every day they wake up, they look in their mirror, and that, yep, I'm going after the car. One day I will own that car. And they had those kind of things taped all over the mirror so that they could focus and not forget what they want to save up for or what their goal is. It's just this reminder that there are some that, even though these things are good, they can become our focus. And when they become our focus, what we're actually aiming for, we actually lose it. I think that's what Jesus is actually saying. If you're delighting yourself in these things, if these become the focus, you actually lose, you will not get what you're looking for. And in fact, in the process, you lose the very one that you truly are seeking, which is Christ. But I think what Jesus is saying was, well, if you focus on Christ and delight in Him, you get what you truly long for is intimacy with Him. And He fills your heart, and you end up experiencing and receiving the rest of God's good gifts that He has for you. The danger is listening to the lie that if I get this, if I pursue this and actually get it, I will be satisfied. So many, many in our world are pursuing, it's their focus is to get a spouse that is loving, that is, and they have their list of expectations of what they're looking for in a spouse, and that becomes their aim. Where they're looking for health and healing, and it becomes everything. It's their ultimate focus. Do you see how if we focus on any one of these things, these things that God intends to be good gifts, but if they become our ultimate aim, it actually will end up in disappointment or sometimes even worse, living with ongoing consequences of wrong choices. I think the danger is that the enemy will tell us, Satan will tell us, there's his way to get these fulfilled, and often there's distortions involved, because every one of us, for instance, are created with a legitimate need for love. Would you agree? Legitimate need for connection, belonging. So Jesus is inviting us to delight in him and to trust him for that need to be met. But Satan will say, that takes too long, too much work. I can meet that need for love, but often it's in a distorted way, isn't it? So I believe that Satan has a distortion for every one of these things. Turn your stones into bread, is what Satan would say, or we just say, Father, I wait and I trust in you. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I don't know what comes to your mind when you think about this word delight. Actually, the Hebrew word is exquisite delicacy. Exquisite delicacy. See, in a person's mind, in a Hebrew person's mind, what they would have thought of in this text, because of the Hebrew, they would have thought of their festivals, the Shabbat. They would have thought of some kind of festival where there was a massive amount of food, rich colors, beautiful display, and friends and family around tables enjoying good food and good wine. Exquisite delicacy. And so the psalmist is inviting us to know God as our delight. How many of you are experiencing God as your exquisite delicacy? Intimacy that is so much greater than anything the world could give. That's what the psalmist is inviting us to experience. That's what Jesus is inviting us to experience. Seek first the kingdom. Exquisite delicacy. That's what God has for us. How many of you are going to be having a Christmas dinner? All the five-course meal and you're, right? It's beautiful. When all the food is put on the table, it's beautiful, isn't it? Especially when there's family and friends around the table. There's something about that experience. And even if we don't verbalize it, and in fact, I used to have somebody, a boss that I worked for, when we went out for dinner, he would say, it was this constant. And I think that's kind of what God is inviting us to experience as we spend time and our posture is towards him. Whatever we might be doing is this, oh God, you're so good. I had that experience worshiping this morning. So good to delight. The picture is God inviting us to experience him as our exquisite delicacy. You know, I was reflecting back as an adult now and reflecting back as a teenager, just how easy it was for me as a teenager to focus on the wrong things. And I was this kid who loved nice stuff. I was having a conversation with Anna about this week. And I think a couple of my kids, for sure, enjoy nice stuff. If they're going to save money for something, it's going to be the best. And Anna pointed it out to me this week. Dad, I think we know where we got that from. That was really good. She nailed it. And I remember as a kid, I was a sucker for nice stuff. I would save money through mowing lawns and anything I could do in order to, I would get my eyes focused on something, and I would do everything I could to get that item. I was a sucker for nice stuff. But it often led to disappointment. I remember saving my money for these roller skates. I know some of you are thinking. It was roller skates. These were high-top leather roller skates. The wheels were red. The trucks were, like, shiny. They were made in California, and, man, I wanted them. It was $180. And I saved and saved and saved until I finally got my roller skates. So I remember the first night, a bunch of us went to Linden to a roller rink. And those, how many of you remember going to roller rinks? Oh, yeah. The disco ball, the music, right? The slow skates where you take the girl's hand and you skate together. And, oh, yeah, fond memories, right? So I remember going with my buddies and trying out my new roller skates to Linden, Washington. And, man, did I rip it up that night. I'm sure all eyes were on me. It was like a scene out of Saturday Night Fever, and I was John Travolta on wheels, I tell you. After this amazing night, we all got in our cars, drove home, got out of my friend's Chevy Vega, and went to grab my skates and realized, into my horror, that I left them in the parking lot. Hopped back in my vehicle, actually, I wasn't driving yet, hopped back into my buddy's Chevy Vega and drove back to Linden, Washington, and no skates. I know. Thank you. Thank you. It's a hard lesson. And I had a number of those lessons reminding me, Darcy, don't put your security in things. The joy won't last. And I think about Jesus' words, don't lay up treasures for yourselves on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you as well. You see, I was this kid, this extrovert, that would get so lost in the excitement of the moment. I didn't just lose roller skates. I also lost a Nishiki 12-speed bike, almost brand new, left it at youth group. Because I would get there and there would be like 100 kids and it was awesome. And I completely lost myself and I would forget these things. Already it was this indicator, this little reminder, Darcy, see what's important? Friends are important, way more important than things. But I would get lost in excitement, I would get lost in people, and I would get lost in girls. Yeah. They were my other nemesis. I started dating way too early. And way back in that period of time in my life, I felt like I needed a girlfriend to be cool. And looking back now, I see, there is this huge void in my life. And I was looking to fill it with all kinds of things, toys and people. And even though most of my girlfriends would last 6 months, year, one girlfriend lasted maybe 2 years, but eventually those relationships ended in disappointment. And it really wasn't until my mid-20s when I began to realize that I was focusing on all the wrong things. Just because I was making these things my aim and my delight, they never ended up satisfying. But when I actually switched my trajectory towards Jesus and I began to delight in Him and learn what it meant to delight in Him, all of a sudden I realized that my Father was meeting all my needs. And He was doing a far better job than I could have ever done on my own. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And I think the older we get, our delights change, right? Some of you are teenagers, different delights, different longings than maybe we have as we get older. Some of you, as you are in retirement or approaching retirement, likely your longings and your desires have changed. I think about the distractions that teenagers have compared to the distractions that some of us in our middle age or in our retirement years have. What kind of things would you consider to be distractions? Things that would take your eyes off or tempt you to take your eyes off of Jesus, no longer delight in him, but now focus on these things. What are some of the distractions that you experience? Huh? Did someone say Christmas? Yeah, tell me about it. At the mall yesterday. Christmas distraction. Maybe the commercialism of Christmas? Yeah. What else? Health. Yeah. Sickness. Yeah, there comes a time in our parents' lives that when all of a sudden we know when the switch happens, right? Whenever you phone them, it's always you're getting the lowdown on some kind of physical ailment, you know, the Yeah. Work? Mm-hmm. Yeah, just numbing out in front of the TV. Yeah. What else? Good grades. That can become an obsession, right? I mean, there's healthy focus, but then it could become, good grades. Hobbies? Really? You think so? Social media. Yeah, what else? Distractions. To-do list. It's always something, right? Screaming at you, you have to do this, you need to take care of it now, right? Steals our ability to rest, be present to what the Holy Spirit's saying and doing. Mm-hmm. Need to fix people, fix situations. Somebody said perfectionism? Oh man, eh? Perfectionism. Finances, yeah. School. Mm-hmm. Social media, yeah. I wonder, we could just add so much underneath social media, hey? Yeah. So many distractions. Little tangent. I think one of the best things to battle perfectionism for some of us, whatever you're doing, purposely don't do it perfectly. Purposely leave something undone. You're doing the counter, you're doing dishes, leave a dish dirty on the counter. Do something. You hear what I'm saying? If you don't go after perfectionism, you need to, it's scheduling failure into your life on a daily basis. That's how you battle perfectionism. And if we don't do this, then we teach our kids perfectionism. And anxiety increases. Our kids need to be in environments where they are allowed to fail and they don't have to be perfect. And if we're not modeling it, if we're modeling perfectionism, the anxiety in your home goes through the roof. We're going to have a phone breaking. Peter, did you bring the sledgehammer? Yeah, good. Hmm? Perfectionism going the other way? Oh, lazy, yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Some of us are like, I think my spouse could probably use a little bit of perfectionism. I want to talk a little bit about delight. The invitation of delight, delighting yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of our hearts. As you know, we went through soul formation, and I want to give you just this image, and then we're going to close. This image comes from Richard Rohr. How many have seen this image before? This is the heroic journey. This is holy wisdom, or the pathway of wisdom. I should say wisdom journey. This is the holy fool. This is the old fool, and this is called the embittered fool. So, when you're young, you're going after education, you're pursuing your dream, you're conquering self, you're conquering fears, you're going after life. Full tilt. And you should be. That's the stage of life that you're in. But oftentimes what happens, most of us, most everyone will experience something at between the ages of 35 and 50. And it's called the crisis of limitation. Something happens. There's a death in the family. Significant loss. Something happens that doesn't fit your theology anymore. Up to that point, you do this, you have your quiet time, you read and pray, you give, God answers, God gives, God blesses. Everything works out. It's working as it should, and all of a sudden something happens and it's not working anymore. Death of a dream. Failed marriage, bankruptcy. You could put a whole bunch of things in this crisis of limitation. It could be chronic pain. Up to that point, you're an athlete, and all of a sudden now you're living with chronic pain, and you can't do what you used to do. And it's killing you because your identity was in that thing. And now you've faced crisis. Often midlife crisis happens in here, but it doesn't have to be a crisis, but this is significant. And what happens most, there's many people in our lives that they face a crisis of limitation, but they ignore it and they push through, and then they're called the old fool. They just keep striving, keep going at all costs. Cost to their family, cost to their marriage. They are pursuing life as it was. Their old dreams, their old desires, there's no adjustment. This is where the divorces happen and the grass is greener on the other side, and buying the new Camaro, or the Corvette, or the, all of a sudden it's pursuing, I'm going to be young at whatever cost. It's going to bankrupt the family, who cares, right? This is the old fool. The embittered fool is, they're so angry that this happened, and they've never come to terms with it, they've never grieved it, and they've just become a bitter old fool. Angry at life, angry at everything. Or you can begin to embrace it, invite Christ into it, and grieve that stuff away and realize that there's a different pathway that Jesus invites us to, and it's called the wisdom journey. And it leads you to what's called a holy fool. One of the desires and dreams I have is to be an old man one day and be a gentle, soft-hearted, caring old man that is approachable, that is lovable. How many of you know old men like that, old women like that? And you just go, I want to be like that. Because somewhere along the way, they've learned to delight in God, even amidst tragedy, struggle, and loss. They've chosen to give their bitterness to Christ and delight in Him, and it's taken them down a wisdom journey that's led them to life. Delight yourself in the Lord. Amidst whatever you're facing, delight yourself in the Lord. Learn how to delight yourself in the Lord, because sometimes it's not easy. This is not an easy journey. But He will give you the desires of your heart. Delight. You know, the Hebrew word here is our desires. It's inviting us to come to the rabbi and ask him, express our deepest desires and needs and the questions of our hearts to him. That's the picture that a Hebrew person would have had in delighting yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. It's that coming to him and inviting him to fill your cup. So the picture I have for us before the worship team comes and we're going to come to the table. The picture I have as far as delighting is this. And I would encourage us to do this as Anne and Mario lead us in worship. Some of us are holding on to those desires, life the way it was before the tragedy happened, before the loss happened, before my body began to break down. We're still hanging on. And we're becoming bitter, and it's getting the best of us. And Jesus is inviting us to let go, let those things drop, and trust that as we let go of those desires and longings, and we release them to His care, then we turn our palms this way, now upwards, to receive what only He can give us. So it's that letting go and delighting. This is why some of you lift your hands in worship. That's the picture. My hands are empty. My heart is open to receive what you have for me. Father, a Hebrew person would do this. When they would pray with their hands open and their fingers moving. That's what rabbis would do. Anticipating what the Father, I know you're going to give me something. Father, I know you love to give good gifts. Father, I'm ready to receive it, right? So that's the picture. It's letting go, delighting, receiving what He has for us. He will give you the desires of your heart. And so it's receiving what God has for us. And then you might want to do this. And He will give you the desires of your hearts. Okay? So that's the picture. So worship team, why don't you come up? Heavenly Father, we want to learn more and more what it means to delight in you. For some of us, we're beginning to get a taste of it, little glimpses, but we don't live there yet. It just comes and goes, and oftentimes it's fleeting. And so, Lord, I pray that we would learn more and more what it means to delight in you, even in the midst of loss and the midst of crisis. We want to take this wisdom journey, and we want to become holy fools. We don't want to become the embittered fool or the old fool. We want to become holy fools for you. So teach us, Lord, what it means to delight in you. Even as we worship, I pray, Lord, that we would be able to let go of what we're hanging on to, and that we would receive the good gifts that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So take some time and worship. I think they're going to lead us in one song, and then the table is going to be open.
the king of my heart, be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, he is my song. Yeah, let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, oh, he is my song. Cause you are a good, good, you are good, good, oh, you are good, good, oh, you are good, good, oh. Let the king of my heart be the wind inside my sail, king of my heart, be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days, oh, he is my song. You are good, good, oh, you are good, good, oh, you are good. Never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. Down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You are good, good, oh. God, you're holding on. And when the night is holding on me, God is holding on. Cause you are good, good, oh, you are good, good. You are good, good, oh, you are good, good.